Five, four, three, two, one, zero, ignition.
Hey, hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How's your life going on? How is the second day of the week heading towards the ultimate moment of profitability, joy, fun, and relaxation? Are we heading to where you want to go? We're going to talk about the Outlook Report, legalized marijuana, a personal investment of millions of the government, not great, financial problems, the video, and we have an interview with Pablo or whatever about the collapse of Latin America. And sorry, Pablo, that I pronounced your name incorrect. I don't want to be rude. It's just, well, it's not that going too great. Let's begin with the first thing. The Outlook report is out. It means that you have the lovely chances of getting ahead in the new year, and we are all going there. So just have a quick look what you think about it. And the report is a totally free download, so you can get it for free. There's nothing you have to do. Just visit hofprofit.com and you will find the 2018 report dedicated at the site, so you can have it all back. And that is really great for you, because getting your head financially. So that's it. That's one thing. On one of the great investment trends for the new year, that's definitely the legalization of soft drugs in the United States and more countries around the world. And it means basically that you are having more and more chances to get ahead and take it on. And if you're looking what's happening in the United States, you will see, for example, that Utah, where the Mormon Church is really important, New Jersey, Missouri, Oklahoma, Michigan, and Vermont, they also decided to allow recreational or medical marijuana. And that's important for you to realize, because it means more jobs for the people. And like, I can't stress it out more enough times, you need to realize yourself why Trump is elected. Trump is elected to build a wall and to get jobs and get tax reform. Well, he got the tax reform. No matter what you think about it, it passed. And the jobs, well, this is one of the matters for him to get the jobs in. And we have the lovely moments now of the wall. Well, let's have a look at what is happening. And with that, then I think it's time to say something really terrible. For my company, I own shares in Hainan Airlines. It's in Chinese, for the Hainan Asian A Group to be exactly. It's an airliner aviation conglomerate. It has quite some interesting divisions in it. 25% of Hilton Hotel, 9.8% of a company that's called Deutsche Bank. Maybe you've heard of them. They are one of the biggest investment and retail banks. Swissport is a ground handling company around Europe that's part of it. The catering division of Air France KLM is part of it, and they are in tough financial problems, and at the moment you can't sell or buy shares of them. And what I really hope they are going to do is that they simply split off divisions. I mean, a quarter of the Hilton Group, someone is interesting to buy it. What I really hope is that they are going to do is get all back together, merge the, I believe, in total 11 airlines they got, and that they simply bring all 11 airlines together to one airliner, and then take it on from there. And that is important, because when we get all those airliners together, you have a bigger airliner, so that's one good reason. And you can take the advantage of it, because you're bigger, and you can get scale of economy and scale of size everywhere. I mean, can you tell me what the essence is to having Beijing Capital Airlines, Lucky Air, Hainan Air, and more of those things? And the other things, they need simply to sell things. So I would strongly suggest that they sell the share in the Hilton and share the complete hotel division. Just sell it. I mean, for my part, you put it aside and it's a different group, and bring it to the stock market with a 200-year contract that their loyalty program is your foreshadowing loyalty program. And it is an interesting move, because what you can do then is integrate it and take the benefit. And I consider it as a great loss that at Hainan they did not integrate all their loyalty programs. I mean, imagine they fly twice a week to Germany. But imagine that all the Deutsche Bank banking customers around the world, the retail bank customers, are going to get frequent flyer points for what they do. So let's say that for every euro or dollar you spend to the bank, you get 1 point as part of the deal. And that they simply say, well, we're going to give you the boost to get the first things. And basically the idea with it would be to build a route and build a really big customer base around it. So you'd have a tough position on getting all the competition in, and you could simply define yourself as the leading airliner. At the moment, there is news that different airlines missed the lease payment, so that's really bad. And well, and that's it. I mean, what I always say, if you're saying how great it is, and you also need to share the tough things, and that's basically because I think it's fair for you to realize that the good and the bad. I will also, in Dutch and in English, I will publish a dedicated blog article about it with lessons, marketing thing, and more of those things. Having that said, it's time to move on to some really funny things, and that means that I would say that it is time to talk about how video is helping in your SEO. And basically, why you need to do it is why you need to have your SEO in store order is because proper and good SEO allows you to make money. That's how easy it is. So that's it. Get higher rankings on Google, Yahoo, Bing, and more of those sites. And first of all, it's a role of you, what you need to realize is that YouTube is extremely important, because what YouTube is doing, it is the platform, and you don't need to see YouTube as the broadcasting platform. You need to see YouTube as a search engine. You need to consider YouTube as what it is, the place where people are searching for new ideas, new materials, and new inspirational things. I mean, consider, basically do your SEO for your own YouTube channel and YouTube things, and get it on the ongoing site. Don't make YouTube part of your overall SEO strategy. Get a dedicated strategy for YouTube. I mean, and if you then look at you need to get your people to get more views and get them the complete view. I mean, the more views you got, the better it is, and the longer the views it is, the better it is. And ultimately, this is important for the algorithm, and more all the Google or basically Alphabet divisions are talking about what it is, why it takes, and where to move on. And have a quick look at social shares. I mean, you should have a proper social media following, be interactive, share everything, and share messages with all the social networks you got. The reason that I say so is you have your own fans. I mean, I get quite some people that I want to interview for my podcast just on what's following me on Twitter. And you see that those interviews are being really popular, really good in the traffic, and good in the listening time. So you need to get share. So that's why, for example, I will always suggest you to simply share, like, and get this message out. There is a reason that every internet web shop and short blog says sharing is caring. So if you care about the message, simply share it. That's all we say. I mean, but you, for example, some ways that you could get out and launch things is get a teaser video out that's designated and just there for you to work around your new product launch. You could make for all your troubleshooting problems and all the frequently asked questions, make a dedicated video about it so people can see it. What do you need to get ahead? And give some secrets. I mean, give something away. The reason for me to give the free report away for 2018 is the immense size and traffic it gets. I mean, it really is boosting my traffic. You see that people are entitled to a coupon code for a relative high discount. And that's interesting, because you get a discount because you bought something, but the thing you bought was free. So then I can use that for ongoing promotional shares. And what you need to check out also is the conversion about. I mean, depending on what you want to do, simply can you use video for everything that you can get it in. I mean, use video for mailing list signs up, use video for informing people. I mean, and to give you an idea about the importance of video, I would say go to Google or YouTube and search Mr. Smith, It's a Boy. It's, in my opinion, the best commercial from that decade. And have a look at it and think about what's happening. I mean, so having that said, and I think that this is a great set for you to get your things out, to wrap it up. You need to increase visibility. You need to get out. People need to see your video. And video can really help your SEO. And having that said, it's time to do the interview with Pablo. Pablo is a Latin American journalist. He is from Italy. We talked about the joy of life there and the financial collapse, what happened there, and how to fix it. The idea of it was that we are sharing knowledge and learning. And, well, here he is, and let me know what you think about it.
Interesting.
Okay. First of all, very warm welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
How did you end up living and working in Latin America?
Well, after I finished my university in economics at Bocconi University in Milan, actually my father was living already in Latin America, and I had always a strong passion for journalism. So with my contacts and my studies, I first of all became a journalist in Italy. Then I wrote the first book in Italy about Lula da Silva, the Brazilian president. Now has some small problems at that time. In 2002 he didn't have. And thanks to that book, that was mainly a biography of Lula until 2002, with some strong interviews to Decker Furtado, the economist of the development and the growth, to Mino Carta, one of the discoverer, great journalists in Brazil, and Frei Beto, and João Pedro Stedile, that is the leader of the People Without Land, MST it's called. Thanks to the connection I had, and also because of the crisis of journalism, that in 2006, 2007, it was already to me clear that we would have had in Europe, in Italy especially, I decided to move to Brazil, also because La Stampa, that is one of the biggest and most important newspaper here we have in Italy, needed someone there. So, well, with my wife, journalist, videomaker, journalist too, we decided to move to Brazil at the beginning of 2007. And since then, and now it's 11 years, we are living here in São Paulo, but covering all Latin America, because, I changed, now I'm not with La Stampa anymore, I'm with Il Giornale, and I'm writing on the most important weekly magazine in Italy, it's called Panorama, and then also for other review, also Catholic reviews, and also Swiss of London, newspapers, and also now I am speaking with you, and I'm very glad because I speak some languages, and it's a pleasure always to meet, try to explain how it works here, because in fact the vision you have in Europe of Latin America is quite different from the reality we day by day live here. With a lot of difference between country and country, because you can't compare, for instance, today Venezuela to Uruguay or to Chile or to Brazil. They are all with their peculiarity and their specificities.
Okay, and if you look at Latin America, Brazil was mainly a great country, so it was really popular to invest in the country. It had the World Football Championship, it had the Olympic Games. So, and then the economy collapsed. What went wrong? What happened?
Well, what happened that you know, they say that the good trains pass always just one time, maybe twice. In that case, there were all the trains possible Brazil could imagine to give it to positive, to make it well. But it didn't. Most of the responsibilities, as usual, as I'm used to say, is not as they are used to defend themselves, of the others, or, you know, of the empire, that is United States, or of the evil, or of the opposition. Usually the responsibilities are, apart from the system, speaking about Brazil, because it has a political system where I think that not even Jesus Christ could govern it in a proper way. just to make you understand, Lula governed with 33 parties, 33 of the 35 or 36 sitting in the parliament. And Dilma, something like that, a bit less, because she was a bit less communicating, and that's why they impeached her, because the more than two-thirds of the parliament at the end wanted her to leave. But everything was planned to give in a proper way, in a very good way. I remember the cover of the Economist in 2009, I think, was in the Christ, Rio Red Christ, like in summer, booming, going to the moon, like saying, wow, the boom of Brazil. That was the call of Brazil in 2009. In fact, when Lula ends his second period in power in 31st of December 2010, the economy growth here also, for Brazil, it was a great growth, even if, in fact, that what should Brazil growing every year, because it's just to compare to Italy, that I think has got a surface bigger than Holland, the Netherlands. Brazil is more than 30 times as extension of Italy. So maybe, I don't know, Italy and Holland, how is the difference? But you can make it the calculation very easily, and it's got just 200 millions of inhabitants. So many is most of them concentrated in big city like São Paulo, where just in the state of São Paulo you have got 40 million of these 200. So, and you have got huge, the biggest trees, the Amazon forest, the biggest water reserves, one of the biggest oil reserves that they discovered under the sea, diamonds, golds. You have got all you may think about to be a rich country. And Lula won twice easily because he did that program that everyone wanted to try, that it was to reduce these differences between the typical of all Latin economies. You've got a Gini indicator that is totally different from the European ones. You knew the last years because they were saying it sounds wrong, the richest people in the society. That's true. But if you look at first, you've got in Latin America, that is 1,000 times true. Because this is the proportion. So Lula arrived that speech with a market also speech. He was saying, with me, it will be one of the workers. So it was kind of a speech that it was successful from the point of view, from the electoral point of view. And he did it partially well. So when Lula to leave, because you can get it more than this in a row, he was made wrong person. That was the MSF, because actually, that's the first problem. He centralized all parties, the PT, and it was just him that took the decision. It wasn't a primary election that decided whom should have been. So Dilma arrived. Dilma didn't have the same capacity of putting all these 30 more parties together. And as always, when you change the person in the power, especially in Latin America, started to appear problems, the most of them are corruption. The corruption really huge, that it's always been great in Brazil, for instance, but it was more organized and structured during the Lula 8 years in the power. But at that time, no one was speaking about it because the economy was growing fast and everyone was happy and everyone was gaining. It was all gaining a game, let's say. But when it started to, the economy to slow down, the analysis started to appear, and arrived in 2014, the World Cup. Already in 2013, that is 1 year before, I remember, before the Confederation Cup, there had been the first huge protest of the people. Well, in fact, because of an increase in just 20 cents of real, that is nothing, of the bus transportation ticket. But in fact, it wasn't just that. It was because all the slogans that have been launched and worldwide believed that with this new government The school was improved a lot. The health system was good and was improved a lot too, and so on. And so became to the surface to be lies. So these people was protesting, millions of people in the street, not just because of the 20 cents, but because they wanted to have a proper school, public school, a proper health system, public health system, that in fact, right here in 2011, I'm still here, I see any improvement, at least in São Paulo area, from the school and from the view of the public health system. You're almost obliged to take a private medical security, otherwise it's at your risk. Of course, improved in the north and northeast areas. There were programs that worked out. 3 million families, for the first time in their life, had the light and electricity system. But this is just, a drop in the ocean if you compare with all the billions, euros and euros and dollars that had been put in it. The same thing happened with Petrobras, that was the fourth or the fifth company until 2014, when in the spring of 2014 it appears from a very small fact. It starts what has been called then Lava Jato, that is the biggest anti-corruption operation maybe in the world. They already, Petrobras, or the Brecht, JBS, that is the biggest, it was the biggest meat producer in the world. At the end, it came out that were bribery incredible. Just to make you understand, Petrobras decided to pay 3 billion, more than 3 billion fee in a tribunal in New York, United States, to stop the process, the hearing. Okay, we give you this money, we pay you this the amount of cash, but we settle down all the disputes. The same more or less amount for Odebrecht, that now is involved in a scandal that involves most of the politicians of all Latin America. Vice President of Ecuador is going to jail because of the bribery of this multinational, or the practice multinational, of the building and all public sector sector. They build bridges. They build how do you call them in English? To stop water. You in Holland, you in Netherlands, you have a lot of them. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
They built a huge one, for instance, in the middle of nowhere, where it wasn't necessary. That's because, and that explains you the corruption. In 2007, 2008, Odebrecht was totally steel. They didn't have any work. They went there in the presidency office and they asked, "Well, we don't have work. What do we do?" They went there. They looked at the problem they have, and this. The construction of Belo Monte, something like this. They took all the dictatorship, military dictatorship project, and they reactivated. And to do that huge Belo Monte project, they deviated one of the gifts for San Francisco River, killing and destroying a lot of nature and a lot of Indian population. I mean, this thing happened, but at the moment when the comics was good, okay, someone was saying, announcing it. But then it came out why it was possible to do all these things, not just the level of Brazil, because Brazil is the biggest country, most powerful, but also in all America. So now the four Peruvian presidents, one is in jail with the wife, that one is run after by Interpol, Toledo, Humala is in jail. Well, that one is there just was freed from Fujimori, but in fact it had been some days before Christmas because you see bribery from Odebrecht too. And Garcia also is a big problem because of Odebrecht. So the last four presidents in Peru, they are involved in this scandal of Odebrecht. I'm not saying anything about Petrobras because it takes hours. Vice President of Ecuador lost case in jail. Colombia President Santos is investigated as is also the Maduro President of Venezuela. If in Venezuela the justice would it, but it's not. So it just came out that also the leader of opposition, Prilias, at that time in 2013, after Chavez's death, he received something like 9 million. Maduro, of course, received something like 8 million. But yeah, everyone, left, right, the best opposition, to lose, whoever will win, we are sure that we'll build half of the capitals. And that's one. The corruption, the slowdown of the economics, And mainly thousands of people was what weak the demand. It was used for venal crime. In fact, it was falsification of state balance, the state or center, as they say here in Brazil. Well, I'm saying small crime because if you compare with the other crimes, that is, for instance, Lula is accused, he is now, I think, in process involved for organized crime and blah, 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 many things, from a small level to the biggest level. But most probably he would go to the second run if it would be allowed him to participate, because a lot of people still will vote. I'm sure that he will win. I think, on the contrary, he will lose at the runoff. But surely he would arrive at the runoff if not condemned before, because he's already been condemned. But in Brazil, you have at least three, if not four or five degrees of judgment. So he can be condemned in first, in the process, and the second one. 24 judges be against condemned, but then it depends how much the three judges, if it is a 2-1 or 0 change, then it would be another appeal, and then another appeal, and so on, so on. I mean, it's very flexible. Justice is very flexible, honesty, and it's very flexible, everything in Latin America. So that's explaining why that missile was going to the moon. Some years after, the economists did the same cover, but with the cry that was, you know, precipitating somewhere on the land, saying that the boom was now a big crisis. That's it. Up and down, stop and go. That is life.
And how would you fix your problems in Latin America? Because it's not a Brazilian problem. It's an...
of course, it's a regional problem. First, transparency. Transparency is what it lacks most here in all the Latin American countries. Transparency, a real division of powers that is almost, you know, Montesquieu said we should have a parliament that works in a way independent from what police, the executive power that is the government elected. And then these two powers, the executive and the legislative, should be independent from the judge problem, from the judiciary problem. I mean, budget, president, and parliament should be the three power, the division of power, you know, typical in Europe.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
this is very very discussed. It almost never happens because there is a huge lack of transparency. A huge lack of transparency that allows almost a corruption that is not something extraordinary, but is something is in place, is endogenous to the system. So they have just to manage the percentage of the bribery. If it is 20% on the total amount of the project, or it is a 30 or 50, or it is a 60, like I heard it was a third of the rate for the women. I was hearing the person that was participating less percentage of on the project. Third gold champ for the UF, and this region was a natural area. You could be owned. It was owned by a friend, a power that I had to give the okay to the construction. So it's like, you know, the main problem is this one: lack of transparency, total lack of transparency. Not even powers, and of course people, the people, because most of the people don't have people that are able to understand what they read, because... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Do you hear me?
No.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you.
Okay.
It falls down the line.
Yeah, terrible Skype. I will pick it up from the point of the reading and statistics that you didn't believe. And shall we take it from there to the profit sectors, where you think that the money is in Latin America? Okay. So, basically you said that everyone is having a job so long they can read and write. That sounds too good to be true.
Yes, in fact, there are many problems, but the most of them are the lack of transparency, the lack of division of the three powers, and then also the know-how and the concerns of the people. If you have, like in Brazil, we have something like 56% of functional
analphabet, the people that they know how to read and how to write, but they don't understand well what they read, you have got a big problem, because when you have to denounce also some injustice, first of all, you are afraid that the three powers, they say you, the political power and the judiciary and police power, for instance, they are all the same thing, so you don't denounce.
Okay.
There is something not thought, also understand that, how to do it, and it is more difficult to be conscious. And then the lack of transparency, because you can denounce, but then they kill you in the middle of nowhere, and nobody will know. Maybe they will know after 6 months, but you understand that it is more difficult to make the system work.
Okay, and if you look at the moment, there's a crisis in Latin America. Where are, in your opinion, the best investments or methods to secure some profits in Latin America?
Well, profits, you can secure a lot of profits also in Brazil. You just have to know the right person. And in this moment in Brazil, it's exactly difficult to do this, because it's a turning point period, because we have got election at the end of 2018, and you really don't know who will be the winner of this election. So big profits, of course, you can make also in Brazil, as I said, but the countries that I think they've got less these huge problems I stressed, maybe are the countries that are less on the spot. For instance, Mexico. Mexico, everyone is saying, well, because of Trump, Mexico will be destroyed and will be highly damnified. In my opinion, modest, very modest, I don't want to suggest anyone to follow my indications, but in my modest opinion, Mexico will grow quite a bit in these next 2 years. And another country that I see quite well for investing money could be Chile. Chile, I think it could be interesting. And then it depends if you want to invest, for instance, in the financial market, or if you want to invest in the production on the ground with an investment. If you have got a huge or a small investment, because this has changed a lot. As I said, for the big investments, it's very important to have the political connections here in Latin America. It's unuseful not to say this. It's just hypocrisy. If you've got the right connection, you'll be able to win. If there is, for instance, a public race between more operators, you will be the one, if you know the people that because they've got all these organizations in many sites. For instance, CVM is the organization that should monitor the how do you say the stock values, all the stock that are quotated here in São Paulo, but they never did anything useful. All the scandals arrived a lot before than the entity that is supposed to monitor that all the balance of the society is quoted and of the stocks quoted are okay. So really, as in general point of view, I would focus mainly on Chile and on Mexico as two countries interesting to invest from the financial point of view. From the physical, with what they are called the direct investments, well, that depends by your know-how, by your connection, because most of the investors, they don't
decide to invest, then to follow the money to go in the country they invest in. But they, if you have got a very good partner on the side, that could be more than the country situation, let's say the country framework. Another country that could be interesting, I think it would be Paraguay. Paraguay is very interesting, but it's very dangerous also, because for instance, you don't pay almost tax. You don't pay almost tax.
My listeners will love this.
Your listeners will love this, but it is
yes.
True. I mean, it's just, you go to Paraguay, it seems to stay in Brazil, because you've got a lot of pizzeria, a lot of even restaurants that are Brazilian owners, and all the people from the south of the country, most of them, they've got fiscal presence there. I mean, when they speak about fiscal paradise and Panama Papers and so on, it makes me a bit laugh, because they move much faster than all the investigations. So it's really, I didn't need a Panama Papers to discover that all the multinationals present here in Brazil, in all Latin America, every month they went to Panama, the CEO, why? the company. Why? Because the Panama climate is very good? No, it's not good at all. It's brutal. I hate Panama climate. But they went every month since the 70s or the 80s. So it's good in 2060. Wow! 500 big press media all together. This really consolation of brain discovered that Panama was a fiscal paradise. And now that Panama decided to change the law, they're changing the law. They put a law that is quite strict. If you do not declare over $200,000 of taxes, you risk even to go to jail. This is the problem. What the European Union, they left the Panama on the blacklist. And for instance, they didn't put a lot of British islands all over the world that even my grandmother know that there are.
And that's it. So don't forget to download, repost, like, share, and let me know what you think about it. You can tweet me, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.